the blood that washes away our sin. The Bible talks about our sin in a way that it says our sin is like scarlet. What color is scarlet? Red. And though our sin is like scarlet, as red as scarlet, when the blood of Jesus is applied, it shall be what? White as snow. None of us would ever think of using blood as an agent to take stains away, right? You say, no, I pour blood on, it's getting more stained. Blood's a hard, you know, stain to get out. But yet the blood of Jesus Christ doesn't stain us. The blood of Jesus Christ washes away our sin. Those in Christ who are born again, who have been washed in his blood, are cleansed, forgiven, made right with God, and were freed from the power of sin through his shed blood, the spotless Lamb of God. It's in Romans 3 that it says that, you know, God gave us Jesus as a sacrifice for sin so the people can be made right with God because of the shedding of his blood. So yeah, science can tell us that the blood is, you know, the life is in the blood. Yeah, well, guess what? God told us that a long time ago. And there's no other natural ingredient that can replace our blood. They never really found a substitute yet. That's why, you know, especially in times, it's a good thing to do all the time, but especially in certain situations, it's good to give blood because it's a precious commodity. We can't just go out there. You can't say, I'll give them two kinds of ginger ale. They'll be all right. You know, it doesn't work that way. You need blood. Has to be the right type, the whole bit, you know? Blood's precious. But how much more is the precious blood of Jesus, which not only gives us physical life, but gives us eternal life? And when the blood of the animal, that innocent animal didn't do anything, when it was shed for our sin, it showed us how important or how deadly sin is. But how much more now did God have to give his life in our place? So Jesus paid for our independence, our freedom, with his blood. Yes, as a nation, we can and we should talk about our freedom. And listen, I don't want to get on this tangent, but you know what? Today, we're not as free as we think we are. And we're not as free as the original founders intended us to be. We're not. But that's another subject for another time, but it does fit with what we're talking about today, because blood is still being paid for whatever freedoms we do have. But you know what a lot of them said from the very beginning? Okay, we're going to fight this war and a lot of people will die. And the blood was going to be shed for our freedom, for our independence. And they thought it was a good enough, important thing for men, young men and women, whoever sacrificed and died so that we could have this freedom. But guess what? You know what they said from the very beginning? Now you got the freedom. Can you keep it? Now you have the freedom, can you keep it? Well, we are a lot less free than we were in 1776 from that standpoint. But Jesus paid for a different type of freedom for us. He paid for a real freedom. A freedom that when he died on the cross, his blood, if you receive it by faith, washed you and gave you a liberty that you can only imagine. And I think it's 1 Corinthians 7 basically says this, that we're bought with a price. He says, so don't become the slaves of men or people or systems, you know, that kind of thing. Don't you're not a slave any longer. Don't become a slave now. You're set free. Don't become a slave. Jesus paid for us with his very blood. He gave all his blood so that we can live. Remember, he bled on the cross, but at the end, to say that he was dead, they pierced his heart with the spear, right? Blood and water flowed out. He was emptied out. And Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, he says, for freedom Christ has set us free. I know this is a little different. He says, stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Some translations say it this way, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Now, I'll let that sink in a minute. Because I'm going to say that we do not understand freedom the way that we should. We don't. We don't understand what freedom really is, true freedom is. Nationally, do we not really understand what they understood hundreds of years ago? But I'm talking now even more spiritually. Do we really understand what this freedom is? It says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. But then he tells us, if you're free, stand fast in that freedom. Stand in that freedom and don't fall under the yoke of slavery again. Don't fall back into bondage again. You're free. Another translation says it this way, Christ has truly set us free. That's why in the early church, and even to this day, there's always been this struggle between those who understand or trying to understand the freedom that we actually have in Christ, the real freedom we have in him, versus those who say, well, Christ set you free, but now you got to obey all these laws. We're going to put you under some other form of bondage now. But that's not what Christ came to set us free from. But we think sometimes then, okay, I'm free so I could do whatever I want. That's not freedom. That's why we don't understand this thing. Freedom, true freedom, isn't to do whatever you want. Paul wrote a lot about Christian liberty. He liked to use that term. Well, we use liberty. He used the term in the Greek about liberty. He liked to talk about the freedom. He said, I'm free, completely free to do anything I want. That's what he says. I can do anything. I'm free. Christ made me free. I can do whatever I want, but I'm not going to do whatever I want to do. Now, I'm obviously paraphrasing this. I'm not going to live any way I want to live. I'm not going to live in a way that'll cause me to go back into some form of bondage of sin again. I'm not going to live in any way that I, my lifestyle, will cause somebody to go into a deeper bondage than they are in already. I'm not going to live in any way that will sully the name of my God who gave me this freedom. I'm not going to do anything that's going to do those things. I'm going to use my freedom for something even different and even better. A freedom that we have to serve. You say, well, no, freedom isn't to serve. It actually is. The freedom that we have in Christ is a freedom from sin and the bondage of sin. We're free from the results of our sin, which is eternal separation from God. And we're free now to serve God and to serve others. We are. You say, that's not freedom. Yes, it actually is. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Let me read something else. Because if there was another way for us to be free just by God saying, oh, okay, just, you know, you're free or make a law. Listen to what it says in Galatians chapter 3. Is the law then against the promises of God? He's saying, is the law against God's promise? No, it's not. God's law was good. But God's law was never intended to make us free because the law just showed us how much in bondage we were. All right, and how sinful we were and how bound we were. He said, but is the law against the promises of God? He says, God forbid. For if there had been given a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. In other words, if God would just say, hey, all of a sudden now you're all righteous, God would have just done that. But that's not the way it works. But the scripture hath concluded that all are under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. So in other words, God said, listen, Paul's saying, you know, God realizes, he knows that we're bound up. We're slaves to ourselves, to our whims, to our what we think is freedom. We're slaves to the result of our sin, which is separation from God, not only now, but eternally. And God said, listen, here's the law to convince you that you really are bound up, that you really are a slave, that your sin really is going to destroy you eternally. So here it is, because this is the way of perfection, but none of you can keep it. And all it did was to tell us that we needed somebody to do the work for us that we couldn't do. And what happened was then he said, here's Jesus, here's my son. And the son came from heaven and took on a human body that had actual blood in it. And he actually bled and died as he laid down his life for us to wash away our sin, so that anyone who would trust and believe in Jesus Christ would be born again into his family, their sin would be washed away, and then we're not bound by law anymore. We're saved by the grace of God through the faith in Jesus Christ, and we're set free. We're free. We're completely free. Jesus said himself, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free what? Indeed. That's what Jesus said. You're free from any other system that'll bind you up. Yours, anybody else's. You're free. You can be, there's Christians right now living under tyrannical forms of government who are walking around completely free. Because they know that they may not have the external freedoms that maybe we enjoy, but they are free, and they understand they're free in Christ. Not only to this world, but to this next life. And they're even free from the wrath of God. Because the price was paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, learn about that liberty. Hold fast in that liberty. Stand in that liberty. Don't forsake that liberty. Don't get tangled again into some form of bondage. Because when we think, we'll just now live, like Paul said, I'm free, I can do anything I want. If that's your attitude, I'm free from Jesus, I'll do whatever I want. Then you're back in bondage again. Because God said, no, all those things that you think you can do, that you think are really living for yourself, is really another form of bondage. Anytime we just live exclusively for ourselves, for our wants, for our flesh, for our lust, we're in bondage. And you know what it does? The more you try to go after that stuff, the more it binds you up, and the more you can never be satisfied, and it's a vicious cycle, and you just wear yourself out. No, there's a right way of living, a good way of living, a way of walking in the freedom that is in Christ. You know, there's a lot written about the slaves when the proclamation, Emancipation Proclamation was given, when they were now free, legally free. And they would tell them, you're free. And they didn't understand it. They were born into slavery. They didn't understand this idea of concept of freedom. And many were afraid. They didn't know and what to do. They didn't know how to live a different life. And they said many of them chose to stay where they were under their masters because they did not want to walk out. They were free, but they still stayed, if you will, as slaves. Israel did that. They were enslaved in Egypt for 400 years, right? Set us free, God. Set us free. God brings Moses in. They're delivered. They cross over the Red Sea. Pharaoh and his army die. They're on the other side. And guess what? They are completely free. They're free indeed. God says, now look, you're free indeed. This is how you're supposed to live. Okay, cool. And he goes, there's where you're supposed to live. Go in there and live the way I told you, and you will be completely free. They go, I don't think so. I don't think so. No, So what happened? They wandered around the desert aimlessly for 40 years, free but in bondage to themselves, to their sin, to their unbelief. Free but walking as slaves. Free dying in the desert instead of walking in freedom in the promised land. Paul says, no, as a Christian, do you want to wander around or do you want to be free? Do you want to be free? Stand fast. You are free. Stand fast in the liberty that you have. And that liberty isn't, again, just to do whatever you want. You know, Solomon, Ecclesiastes chapter 2 especially, Solomon says, yeah, I'll drink it all. I'll have sex with it all. I'll buy it all. I'll sell it all. I'll do it all. I can do whatever I want. I'm the king, and I got all the money, and I got all the freedoms to do whatever I want to do. And guess what? It's all nothing. 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 It's nothing. God says, that's not freedom. That's not freedom. That's bondage. You're set free. You're free. Listen to what he says in Galatians 5, verse 13. I'm going to get to wrap this up in a couple minutes. For you, brethren, listen, this is the ones that are free now, right? For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, freedom. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. He says, if you just do whatever you want because you want to do it for your own selfishness, he says, yeah, you're just going to chew each other up. You're going to be both bound up again. Listen, there was nobody ever more free in this world than the man Christ Jesus when Jesus became flesh. He was completely free. He's not under sin. He's God. He's free. And what did he use his freedom for? For us. He came to serve. He came to die. All his freedom, which he was completely free, it was for the purpose for our sake, not for his own sake. Christians, that's what we're called to. Free to serve God. Free to serve others. Free to live a life that glorifies our Father, that testifies to him like Israel was supposed to be. Live this way so the nations around you will know there's a better way. Don't use it for an opportunity for your flesh. Don't just do whatever you think you want to do. You'll end up just biting, devouring, eating each other up because of your selfishness, your hearts. And that's what happens, unfortunately, in church a lot of times. We resort to the flesh to get what we want. It's just about me. It's about how I feel, about how people look at me and people approach me and people act towards me and people blah, 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 blah. No, it's not what it's about. It's not about us. It's about glorifying our Father in heaven. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, I'll read the next couple verses, Galatians 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. He says, listen, there's a way to live, and there's a way that I will show you to live if you will walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't just some force. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, is someone who's not just out there and you can say, hi, kind of help me. No, he lives with inside of you. To walk in the Spirit, you know what that means? To walk in concert with the Holy Spirit. In other words, he's leading, you're walking in step with him. That the pattern of your life is the pattern of God's life for your life. That you're walking hand in hand, right in concert, right in step with the Holy Spirit. You and the Holy Spirit walking, walking, walking. Because God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And here is the power of the Holy Spirit. If we would just yield to the Holy Spirit, we would just be able to say, Father, you're showing me how to live and you're empowering me how to live a life that is truly free. Truly free. Not bound to anything. Not bound to anyone. Not bound to any system. Not bound to death, not even bound to the wrath of God because of the work that Jesus did upon the cross. Make the pattern of our life the same pattern of the Holy Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. Because we still struggle against the flesh when we're Christians until we go home. It's still there, it's real. But if you want to win the battle, you got to yield to the Spirit because you can't fight it alone. I think it was Martin Luther. Yeah, he said, I do not deny that the lust of the flesh includes carnal lust, but it takes in much more. It takes in all the corrupt desires which believers are more or less infected, as pride, hatred, covetousness, impatience, the list goes on. The lust of the flesh, the things that we resort to when we think that we need something more than God has already given us because it's all about us, about our happiness, about our thing and our way. No, you're free. What do you need? And everything you need, your Father in heaven will supply according to his riches and glory. He promised to do that. We have to learn to be satisfied in the freedom of Christ. And to walk under his power. God will write the law in our hearts. I think it was also, if I'm not mistaken, Augustine that prayed, supposedly he prayed was, God, save me from that evil man, myself. Lord, help us to see. See, that's what I want us to see as we close today. I want us to remember, first, the price that was paid for our freedom. And it's not just a temporary freedom to in this world. Again, you could live in a very oppressive society, and if you're in Christ, be totally free. Or you could live in a so-called free society and be bound up. It's our choice. Here we are. If you're in Christ, you are completely free from the external problems, the bondage, and the internal bondage, whether it's spiritual or physical. We're free. But you don't know, my body's breaking down. Yeah, he's given you a new one. This is just a temporary situation. And God will give you strength through that. He will. There's many who can testify of God's strength through the body's weakness. If you yield to the Spirit and not worry just about the flesh. Because if you just want to worry about the flesh, your body's going to continue to betray you. But if you say, Father, even in this condition, and listen, that does not mean that every condition is easy and good. No, some people live in very difficult circumstances. But if they would just say, Lord, I'm yours, and be yielding to the Holy Spirit, they would rise above their circumstances. I'm not saying this. This is God's word, to yield to the Holy Spirit, to be free. See, we think our external problems and difficulties that are outside ourselves are what keep us down, and it's really what's happening inside. And if we're free indeed inside, then it doesn't matter what the external limitations are on our freedoms. So what is it? Let's remember the blood of Jesus. It removed God's wrath if you're in him. And his blood is washed away. You're no longer under the penalty. God has sent Jesus to be your propitiation. He satisfied God's requirements. You're no longer under God's wrath if you're washed in the blood of Jesus. His blood justifies you. You're accepted now by God. It redeemed you. You are completely set free. You have peace with God. You have a right relationship with God. Remember that his blood is precious. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. We weren't bought back by silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So remember, first of all. That's the first thing. Remember. And if you know and you think about this, and maybe you're thinking about blood and sin and bondage for the first time, or maybe it's been a long time, or you've been suppressing the thought of that, then you know what? You need to deal with that right now. And you have to realize that if you're not in Christ, you are bound in your sin, and you're going to be bound eternally separated from God. But if you recognize your sin, you heard today that there is a perfect Lamb, a Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and shed his blood for your sin. And if you would repent of your sin and receive his forgiveness by faith, he promised is that he would wash your sin away and bring you to be his. So that's the first thing you have to do. And you do that by faith. If you're not sure how, you just say, Father, I want to know the truth. Show me. He'll show you your sin. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He'll convict you of your sin, and then he'll convince you that the only remedy for your sin is the blood of Jesus Christ, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And if you do that, then the next thing you have to do is you have to remember that blood, the blood that was shed, the price that was paid, the precious blood of the Lamb, and you never want to do anything to disgrace him. The Bible says it's a terrible thing to trample on the blood. And then you say, Lord, I want to now stand fast in this liberty, because the only way I could thank you is by walking as you gave me the liberty to walk. With the freedom, not to do whatever I want, but the freedom to live, to serve you by serving others and to glorify you, the Father who gave his blood for me. Help me to live that way by the power of your Holy Spirit. There's a time coming, and it may be very soon. Sooner than maybe many of us think. That this whole world is going to be under the most tyrannical governmental system ever devised. For 7 years of tyranny under Antichrist in different form. 7 years. It's coming. It's going to come. I don't know when it will come. I think it's much sooner than we think. Now, the church won't be here. because I believe the church has taken before that time. But we'll see a lot of things as we get closer, and that's why I believe that we're seeing that system being set up before us right now, where all these freedoms and things are being taken away. And people are going, la-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da. But the church will go one day. Christ will call us home. And the earth will be plunged into 7 years of tribulation. And guess what? By God's grace, people will still be getting saved during that time. The Bible says that. And they'll get saved the same way. They'll have to repent of their sin and believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior and accept his forgiveness and to be born. Now, they won't be part of the church, but they'll be saved just the same way we are. They're a different dispensation. But when they get saved during that time, they are going to be under the tyranny of Antichrist on this earth for as long as they are still on this earth. And guess what the Bible says about them? It says, even in that most oppressive system, they overcome. They're overcomers. It says it. Revelation chapter 12. It's on the screen. You can look up. They, those tribulation saints, overcame him, who? Antichrist, the devil himself, which eventually, at some point in the middle of the tribulation, it'll actually become Satan incarnate here. It's going to be awful. But they overcame him. By how? The blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. Without that, no one can be free. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and they've been set free. They overcame him by that blood, and then the word of their testimony, I am free indeed, Satan, you cannot do anything to me. And I have a short time left on this earth to tell others about Jesus so they could escape that fire of hell also. So they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony, and they do not love their life unto death. They say, it's not about me. I know where I'm going. This life is only to be lived for Jesus and to tell others about him. And that's, church, what we're left here for. If we're here to please ourselves, then we should just, like, pack it and go home, you know. But it's not time. If he's left you here, there's a purpose for us. And we can overcome now this everything we deal with by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony as Christians, and by not caring about ourselves like we do too much. God will take care of you, believe me. But we can be overcomers. And through our lives, others that we love may see Christ in us and receive eternal forgiveness through the blood that was shed for them. Father, thank you today for this time of remembrance. A time to remember, Lord God, freedom in general, blood that was shed for that freedom, but more importantly, the freedom that exists only in Jesus Christ. The freedom, Lord, to know that we have been washed by your blood. The freedom to know that our sins, though they were scarlet, are now white as snow. The freedom to know, Lord, that you have set us free and that we who are set free are free indeed. Help us, Lord, to now walk in that freedom. Father, if there's anyone here today that or listening in who has not yet walked in that freedom, I pray today that they would realize that they are bound up. And the only way they could be set free was by the blood of the Lamb. And that, Father, they would turn from their sin today and repent, and they would come and receive by faith your forgiveness, and that you would wash them clean with your precious blood. And then, Father, they then, along with all of your church, all of your saints, then, Father, we would remember that price that was paid, the blood that was shed for us, and we would stand fast in this liberty, and then we would learn to walk in this liberty, that you would search our hearts and minds right now to let us see anything within us, Lord, that we're bound up with, anything of self and pride and flesh and whatever it is, Lord, that we're bound up with. Lord, reveal it to us, and then let us turn from that now. Not just to 5 more minutes until we walk back outside, but no, Lord, we want to go forward in our lives now free from these things that have bound us, that we have got ourselves back under bondage again. And Lord, you set us free. Let us walk in the freedom indeed, that we might glorify our Father, that we might serve others as they see you in us, and that we might one day know that some have come as we stand together around the throne and we hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. So, Lord, let's remember all that you've done as you remember the price that was paid in your blood, and let us live accordingly in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing a song. Just encourage each other before you leave. Pray for those. And I know many told us this week they were going to be traveling. Pray for them, and then we gather together next week. Pray for one another.